This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Diagnosis is not the end. It's the beginning of practice. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Autel, Pico Technology, and Independent Wrench Jobs. Are you chasing elusive automotive problems? Pico Technology empowers you to see what's really happening. Pinpoint faults in sensors, wiring, and components with unmatched accuracy. Picoscope oscilloscopes transform your diagnostic capabilities. Visit PicoAuto.com, that's PicoAuto.com, and revolutionize your diagnostics today. Autel delivers award-winning automotive diagnostic tools trusted by technicians across North America. Backed by Autel North America experts in sales, training, and technical support. From drivability diagnostics and TPMS service to ADAS and advanced safety systems, Autel helps technicians follow OEM procedures and repair with confidence. Learn more at Autel.com. Sponsored by Independent Wrench Jobs, tech-only jobs, no runaround. Built by Technician Find, helping tech since 2017. Join free at IndependentWrenchJobs.com. I guess to build a little bit on the last episode, at least at the beginning here, concerning vision, I really do want to thank everyone for kind words when we'd cross paths, get a chance to speak before, during, after class, at breaks, out and about in the lobby. It's great to hear feedback. And honestly, kind of awesome to hear now with messaging and emails and stuff that the other stuff kind of outside of automotive specifically isn't so poorly received. Like, it's a nice break and people get a kick out of it. So that's kind of cool to hear. Happy to do more of that. I kind of had an idea to start, you know, another kind of a Rushmore. I might have to wait because something else caught my attention. But one thing I need to backtrack on, or not backtrack, but revisit, was at Vision on Thursday. I skipped something. I thought it was a little comical. Partly at first I was going to skip it and then come back to it. And then I just kind of forgot to come back to it. That didn't go over so great. And rightfully so. Because Thursday morning, I did sit in on another class. It was one by Sarah Frazier and somebody else. It'll probably take me a while to think of their name. You probably never even heard of her. I think it starts with a T. Definitely a T. It was Tracy Capriotto. Tracy was a very big part of the class. Okay, so for presentation, at least 50%. And I know how hard she worked on her part of the presentation and practiced and really, really put forth an extraordinary amount of effort. It showed. This isn't so much to just blow smoke up Tracy's tail. It really isn't. Because what's unfortunate is those not in attendance, of course, have no idea. Those close to Tracy do. But how do you get the word out? How does that come out? This is my part, because I think it's important that for the better part of, it probably is over 4 months, but then really grinding the last month leading into Vision, the amount of effort put in, making notes. Not just notes in the PowerPoint, but also notes on cards, because she took it so seriously to deliver at Vision in that class. It was over 100 attendees. So it was very well attended. And Sarah has more presenting experience, but also puts forth an extraordinary amount of effort. But I can't speak to that as directly as I can to Tracy. So anything I say is not in any way, it's to Sarah's detriment, is I just have more access to Tracy, or at least I have more access to the behind the scenes with Tracy than I did with Sarah. And it's important to note that all that hard work showed. It showed in the presentation. It showed when she was the one speaking and she did not need her cards. Yeah, it's just extremely well done. And they both did a terrific job. And it's about a topic we really don't get enough of. And yeah, we talk about communication all the time, but really we need to learn effective communication. And that's what they really leaned into. So if you are attending a expo of some sort, a training conference, and you see classes on there by Tracy. And in particular, I would say probably Tracy and Sarah together co-teaching. I can't recommend attending enough. And that's not because I'm friends with Tracy. I'm not because I'm friends with Sarah. It's because I think you will take a lot away from it. I'm just not kidding about it. It's very straight up. You are going to take away a lot. So yeah, that was cool. Really where I'm going with this episode has nothing to do with any of that. Has everything to do with this YouTube channel. It's not really even important what it was or what it is about, but it was somebody had purchased their own scan tool and they had made the comment that they bought this scan tool and it's not a professional level tool, but that's what they bought because the dealership wanted $190 to scan their codes. So for less than $190, they bought their own scan tool and were going to diagnose their car themselves or vehicle. I couldn't help but make the comment because I really doubt the dealer or any shop really is just going to do a health scan, health report, code scan, multiple module scan, all module scan, whatever you want to call it, hook up the scan tool, get all the DTCs, print them out or email them for $190. I got to be careful because depending on the car line and the scan tool and all that, maybe $190 isn't unreasonable. But I just don't think many are doing that. They're not selling somebody a code scan. They're selling them a diagnostic or a diagnosis. We have done a horrific job, believe it or not. This profession doing something awful when it comes to definitions or standards or agreeing on really almost anything. You know, I mean, it's bad enough we associate fundamental with basic and fundamental as easy and common sense. That's horrible all by itself. Now we've associated diagnosing with diagnostic, with analysis, with code scans. And the codes tell you what's wrong with the car. We can't even just get on the same page about these words don't mean what we're telling people they mean. That diagnosis is what you arrive at. A diagnostic is a process. So if you sell somebody a diagnostic, you're selling them a process. I don't know, a battery of tests or whether those are well-defined or not. They could be. I'm okay with the actual process themselves not necessarily being fully defined, that it's kind of left to the discretion of the specialist working on the vehicle. Meaning, maybe this car allows you to see low pressure and high pressure fuel rail on a PID so that you can see the actual fuel pressure sitting in the driver's seat. That's going to be much different than a vehicle that you have to access somehow to get fuel pressure. Therefore, that test may not be valid on one vehicle. It's valid on the other. So are we going to list fuel pressure in our list of things we're going to do, assuming it's rigid, rather than something of the tune of, if applicable, test fuel pressure. And then you run into the issue of accessing for fuel pressure is not the same on every car. Some of them have a nice, big, wide open Schrader valve. Others, no, it's painful. So testing should be, I guess I would argue, should be at the discretion of the specialist. And really, when we try not to talk time with the client, the technical specialist is aware of we're selling this battery of tests that may include all these procedures or whatnot, but you're not necessarily married to them all. And it's dependent on how we're going to access that. So maybe testing for, I guess we'll stick with fuel pressure, or even pulling spark plugs is really easy on one vehicle and brutal on the other, especially if we're after a specific cylinder on a misfire. One's, you know, maybe three of them are wide open and three of them aren't. And the one you got to check is not. It changes things, right? We have to be better about communicating what it is we're selling them. If somebody wants a code scan, is that what they want? Are we really even willing to do it? Some shops will not just do a code scan. I'm fine with that as long as it's out on the open and, you know, why? And, oh, I don't know, we're not throwing other shops under the bus. And the same goes the other way. If you're more than willing to do a code scan for free or for whatever cost, I don't know, $190, whatever it is, $50, pick a number, a dollar. As long as you're in the open about what you're doing, we're not doing a diagnostic. We're not arriving at a diagnosis with this. You are paying us, or we are, you know, providing you this service of connecting this scan tool that talks to more than just the end, or really emissions related, I guess, and will provide you whatever stored DTCs there are. And then we can come up with a plan from there. And then we will sell you a diagnostic or a diagnostic analysis or something like that. Because the diagnosis is what we arrive at. And that's an issue, right? I mean, I don't think I'm jumping around. Maybe I am. But the thing is a diagnosis is something that you arrive at. And honestly, I think when we're selling people analysis, we're actually unwittingly selling them a result because people want something tangible. Even though a very successful analysis, a very successful process, a very successful diagnostic could lead not to the answer, but to more pointed questions or revision of our process. And I guess when I say of this process, I'm thinking very much of a scientific process. We have a hypothesis, we're going to test it, and then come up with more. That if you don't figure it out right away, it's not necessarily a faulty process. It could be. And through constant improvement and refinement, that should become less and less of an issue. But you could have a very successful and strong process that doesn't lead to the answer right away. It leads to more and better questions. And more, I don't mean like you started out with one question and now you have three. Another question, more pointed, more specific.
Electric and hybrid vehicles are here, and with them, a new era of diagnostics. Don't get left behind. Pico Technologies EV diagnostic kits are your all-in-one solution to safely and efficiently service any electric or hybrid vehicle. From comprehensive high voltage system analysis and insulation testing, to guided step-by-step procedures, Pico puts the power of confident repairs right at your fingertips. Future-proof your shop, boost your efficiency, and become the go-to expert for the next generation of cars. Visit PicoAuto.com today. That's PicoAuto.com.
This episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z is brought to you by Autel. Autel is a global developer and manufacturer of award-winning professional automotive diagnostic tools and service equipment. Trusted by technicians, educators, and shop owners across North America. With diagnostics at their core, Autel's real-world solutions support repair workflows ranging from full-system vehicle diagnostics to servicing the most advanced automotive technologies. What sets Autel North America apart is the team behind the tools. Dedicated experts across sales, training, and technical support, each bringing deep, hands-on experience supporting professional technicians. When questions arise, you're working with people who understand the vehicles, the procedures, and the real-world demands of modern repair. Whether diagnosing complex drivability concerns, servicing TPMS systems, validating repairs, or working with ADAS and advanced safety technologies, Autel tools are engineered to support accurate, efficient repairs in strict accordance with OEM procedures and standards. To learn more about Autel and their diagnostic solutions, visit autel.com, AUTEL.com. Ever feel like you've got to play politics just to get fed? One guy gets the gravy, you get the garbage, and then the ad says, great culture. Independent Wrench Jobs is a new tech-only community to help you find better independent shops, fair dispatch, steady work, real leadership, no games. Start with the free salary survey for your city, shop-by-shop pay, perks, and benefits before you waste another interview. And if you're applying now, use Autotech Resume Pro to generate a resume and shop-specific cover letter in about 2 minutes. Built by Technician Find, serving the industry since 2017. Join free at independentwrenchjobs.com. After this battery of tests, we now know we are going after a fuel quality issue. Something, right? It's not so much what the answer is for this discussion, but that's the idea. The data is pointing me this way. This engine runs very rough. And the block of time sold, that has led me to want to focus on this. Whatever it is, it's not a broken process. I think we can honestly come up with situations or scenarios where you can have a perfect process that it does not involve any guesswork, where the tests leading to the root cause would require however much time, however many steps, and that you can't logically remove any of those steps. That's the reality. Doesn't make it a bad process. Doesn't make it broken. It could be perfect. And since there's no guesswork, no assumptions, these steps were required to get to this result. It's not a staircase where you can just skip steps to get to the top. I guess I implore you to start using, let's just say, the dictionary definitions of these words. And we need to all get our backs on this, which means you have to agree with the dictionary definition, not the industry accepted dictionary. It also translates to other industries or other professions. Probably most easily medical. Don't get me wrong. I get it. There's caveats there. There's hurdles with comparing us to the medical world. I mean, come on. There's some pretty obvious ones too that work. One thing would be some of the terminology. And we have to educate the customers, because when you start getting into like economics, economic theory, a little bit of like behavioral game theory, there's something called information asymmetry. And that's where one entity, in particular in transactions, one entity has far, far more knowledge than the other. We have far, far, far more knowledge about the vehicle than they do. It's what forces this credence good service. That's economic terms. So now we're in economic theory, but it's also the truth. The customer cannot differentiate, nor should they be able to differentiate between the quality of our services versus another. They have to take our word for it. We have to demonstrate over time that our quality is good or better than others, or as good as anyone's. That's the score. Information asymmetry means if we want to be separated from the competition that doesn't want to go through the process, doesn't want to invest in training, doesn't want to invest in the individuals who have that critical thinking and desire and thirst to learn and ego enough to want to be right. Okay? They don't have to be right, but they really want to be right. And this may seem a little left field, a little bit of a lack of confidence. I want to be careful with that, because that could lead to certain predatory tactics that you can hire somebody that doesn't have a lot, you know, an overwhelming amount of confidence. You could take advantage of them, devalue them, because they kind of devalue themselves. But what I'm saying is I find that a lack of confidence, and historically, leading up to this point and in the future, but really leading up to this point, a kind of a lack of confidence is what's helped me. It's what's driven me to do that one more test. It's driven me to research a little bit more. It's driven me to go to training because I don't think I know it all. I know I don't. It's driven me to form friendships and network with other people of what I would say are much higher skilled than me. I do believe that they are more knowledgeable than I am. They are better than I am. So that lack of confidence is a driving force. Is it the sole driving force? No. I mean, a lot of these people that I would consider close friends are close friends because I really like them and enjoy their company and my conversations with them, but the desire to go to the training events, the desire to meet these people that led to quote unquote those people, whatever that is, that was kind of a lack of confidence. Those that have this overwhelming amount of confidence, sometimes it backfires. I'm sure many of you are just, you know, screaming at the whatever you're watching or listening to this on. Dunning-Kruger, Dunning-Kruger. There is definitely a level of that to it. Yes, absolutely. Just keep in mind, Dunning-Kruger is kind of a double-edged sword, okay? On one end, or one edge, you have those that less knowledge are overconfident in their knowledge. And those with a lot of knowledge tend to underestimate how much they know. Yes, there's some of that. That lack of confidence has ended up, I think, helping more than hurting, at least when it comes to what I do or gaining knowledge and trying to be right, trying to get the car figured out the right way. It probably has hurt me financially because, again, it's hard to go into the office, the owner or the employer's office, and demand more money when you're kind of like, yeah, but I kind of suck. Remember that one car or this car? Or I probably should have had that one figured out 15 minutes faster, or just, you know, every little misstep getting criticized by me, self-criticized. It undervalues you. Again, double-edged sword. But if you can just, I guess, help them with their value that way and take advantage of their lack of confidence in a good way, in that it's going to drive them to be better. That you want to have those people in your shop. You want to separate from all the other shops or all the other specialists that are the opposite, that already know everything or really don't have any interest in learning more, burnt out, which sucks when they're burnt out. It's maybe not their, well, at least not all their fault. Or don't have the drive to do the test, that they're completely okay using database diagnostics. Or now I don't even know if you can call it, certain things would be database diagnostics. The other would be, I suppose, large language model diagnostics, which is kind of a oxymoron in my mind. We're going to use predictive text to come up with a diagnosis. See, even I have to work on it. I hope you agree with me. And this starts up this massive groundswell of being particular with our language. I hope you got a kick out of that. Thank you so very much to our sponsors, Autel, Pico Technology, and Independent Wrench Jobs. Could not do this without you guys. And also really want to toss out a thank you to the Automotive Repair Podcast Network and its shining instructor, Tracy Capriota, who also usually edits this and never edits out the nice stuff I say about her. But I've yet to hear the bad stuff. You should hear the stuff I've rattled off over the years. Never makes it. Kind of odd. Anyways, yeah. Let me know what you think. Please don't hesitate to reach out. Fire me a message over Facebook Messenger, or I think it's going to be called Facebook Messages one of these days. You could email me too, I guess. I'm sure you could find me at a trade show sometimes. But you could email me at mattfonzelpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z with Matt Fonslow on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Want Matt to cover a specific topic? Check the show notes for his email. Your input matters.